Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am joined by Perry Fire Chief Chris Hines. Chief, thank you as always for joining me today.
Thank you, Joe, for having us out to the studios. We always love to come out and visit with the public.
Now, the main thing that we wanted to talk about today is holiday fire safety. Christmas is almost here, other holidays going on, a lot of decorating on the inside of people's houses, but a lot of that can create fire hazards, correct?
Yes, yes. The decorating season kind of starts with Halloween anymore, with people putting up so many different types of Halloween decorations and stuff, and it spreads right on to Christmas. They start putting in lighting on the outside of their house, lawn ornaments and things like that that they inflate that are electrically powered and so on. And of course, inside the house, Christmas trees, garlands, wreaths. Many times these can be a fire hazard in themselves if they're not properly cared for and installed properly.
All right, so take us through, first of all, just starting with the tree, because that's what most people think about when they think of fire hazards during the holiday season. So keeping your tree so that it doesn't ignite.
Well, today, so many people are going to artificial trees and that it's not near the hazard that it used to be. But for the traditionalists, the purists out there that are still getting live trees and decorating those, we want to make sure when we bring those trees home to cut off at least an inch off the bottom of that tree before you put it in the base so that it has a fresh end that's not sealed over by any sap or anything like that. And when it goes on that base, immediately put water to it and it'll be able to pull that water up out of the base, basically drink and keep itself hydrated and fresh. It's always good if you can, depending upon the type of base that you have, to cut that base at a little bit of an angle if possible. Just gives more area for the water to go into the base of the tree and keep it hydrated. But the most important thing is to keep that tree hydrated and keep it wet so that it doesn't dry out, because there's nothing more flammable than dry pine needles.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the lights that go on the tree, those anymore aren't as much of a hazard, I wouldn't think, with all the LED and stuff like that, but they can still create some hazards.
Well, yes. With today's LED lights, there's not the heat provided by the lights that there were in the olden days, so to speak. But again, for those traditionalists or the purists that have their old strings of lights from the 50s or 60s, even 70s, those light bulbs can really generate some heat. And when you have a dry tree or dried out needles on the tree, those can get warm enough that they will start on fire from the heat from the lights. And that's, you know, a very big hazard. So you want to be very careful that you have a good, well hydrated tree again, and that those lights are not touching anything. Paper ornaments, things like that. The kids make ornaments in school and stuff like that. We don't want anything like that touching those type of light bulbs or anything, because they can ignite.
All right. Now, another thing kind of in that same vein, you think of decorating on the inside and outsides of houses. You think of plug-ins. So what can you tell me about just being safe when having to plug all these things in to power all of your decorations?
Well, in a perfect world, I think every outlet that you'd have in your house would be a ground fault type of outlet, that if there's any kind of short or anything like that, that it's going to immediately trip the breaker and not electrocute you or cause a short that may start a fire. But I know we don't live in that perfect world, and many houses here in town, just like the one that I'm living in, has very old wire. Some of the houses still have knob and tube wire and that type of thing in them. So it's very important that you don't overload those type of circuits, because if you start overloading them with lots of lights on your trees and things like that, and again, with the new LED lights, they do not pull the amperage and that the original Christmas lights did, but those people that are still using those old lights, those will pull a lot of amperage. It warms up that wiring in the walls and stuff and could potentially start a fire.
All right. Now, is there any sort of limit that you should observe when like plugging strings of lights together, or does it really matter?
Well, every string of lights should have a tag on it somewhere that says that it has been certified by the Underwriters Laboratories, a UL certification on them. And most of those will tell you not to exceed so many strings plugged together. Some of the older lights from the 70s and 80s, they started putting fuses in the plug into those. So if you got too many strings of lights plugged together, the fuse in the plug would not support the draw on the wiring and would blow the fuse. which was a safety measure to try and prevent them from overheating and possibly starting on fire. But it's best not to plug more, if they're the older string of lights, more than two or three strings together at a time. Now, with the LEDs, you can go almost endlessly with those because they do not, as I said, draw any heat or anything like that, and they just use a fraction of the amount of amps that the old lights draw.
All right. Now, a few more things to talk about here, more to do with winter safety. We talked about winter safety when you were here last, but just give some people some reminders on what they should and shouldn't be doing to keep themselves warm during the winter.
Well, I'm sure, especially on some of these cold nights, about everybody has had a little electric space heater or something like that running in their house, and that's fine. But we want to make sure that that heater is not sitting close to anything that is combustible, that we keep it away from the curtains and other furniture. It's in an area where it cannot be knocked over by pets, or kids can play with it, small children or whatever can get involved with it. And that drop cord across the floor running to the outlet, or the cord of the appliance itself actually, should not be covered up by a throw rug. I know you want to throw a rug over the top of that just as kind of a safety measure so it doesn't create a trip hazard, but you're going from creating a trip hazard to creating a fire hazard, because that cord will build up heat underneath that rug and it can start a fire that way. So if you're using something like that, make sure that you lay the cord in a manner that it is not a trip hazard. It's out of the way, but it's not covered up by anything that causes it to overheat and create a fire hazard. Also, there are the kerosene type heaters. I know there's still a few of those out there in use. And again, we want to caution everybody that they're in a well-ventilated area when they're using those, because even though they are supposed to be safe indoors and that, they do use oxygen out of the air. And with today's houses, a lot of them are getting sealed up tighter and tighter to keep the air and the elements out and everything. The tighter they get, the less oxygen that they are naturally breathing through their walls. So it's possible that you could, with something like that, use up the oxygen inside a house very easily, creating a carbon monoxide situation.
All right, very important safety tips there. Now, one last thing that I wanted to ask you about today is actually having to do with your department itself. You recently submitted an application to the Department of Homeland Security for a grant. What can you tell me about this grant and what it's for?
Well, under the Department of Homeland Security, they have what's called an Assistance to Firefighters grant. This is something that we apply for every year. It's a grant that is available to every fire department, whether it's the New York Fire Department or Des Moines, Iowa or Perry, Iowa or Mimburn. It's a grant available to every fire department in the United States. So we compete against a lot of departments for grant money. This particular grant that you're referring to is for equipment. We put in for some new hoses and fittings that we'd like to be able to put into use here in Perry. The grant that we requested was around the area of $28,000. Hopefully we will be a fortunate department and receive some of the funding put out by the federal government on this. Last spring we received from FEMA and the Assistance to Firefighter Grants, we received a SAFER grant, which was for training and recruiting new people and things like that. So it's something that, you know, we're not wasting our time putting in for, because we do occasionally get awarded the grant. But again, it's a long shot because we are competing against a lot of other departments throughout the country. But anything that we can do to lessen the burden on the taxpayers and save some money for the city of Perry, we're going to try and do. So if it's a couple hours worth of work on a grant application or something like that, that may pay off big in the end.
All right. Well, Perry Fire Chief Chris Hines, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
I just want to tell everybody that I hope that they have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and to be safe out there on the highways.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Perry Fire Chief Chris Hines. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sierwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.